William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Let's move on to Saturday. We've got plenty of Grade 1 action to look forward to on the big day. And the first of them is the 405, which is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, a Grade 1 over a mile. And the market headed by Songbird, who's 11-8. Rachel's Valentina is 7-2. 5-1 for Nickname. Tap to It is 7-1. 12s for Dothraki Queen, and 14-1 are bigger prices for the others. Kick us off with a winner on the Saturday then, Alistair.
Yeah, I'm going to play a straight bat here. I think Songbird is, you know, the market's got this bang on. I mean, she's pretty short in the betting, but she's going to take a lot of beating. She's well clear, and I mean well clear, on the much-heralded Bayer speed figures. The victory that really cements her credentials is the one in the influential Chandelier Stakes last time out. And, I mean, she was so impressive that day. It's beyond belief. I mean, as I said, that Chandelier Stakes is traditionally a really good pointer to this race, and I don't think there's been many more impressive winners than Songbird, who could, you know, could easily turn out to be even better than she's shown, because we just don't know how good this filly is. She's yet to be tested. She's never saw another rival in beating Land Over Sea by 4.5 lengths, and there was no less than 10 lengths back to the remainder of the field who weren't slow coaches. If she replicates that form on Saturday, I don't say there's another filly in there who can beat her. And as I said, I think she was hardly tested. I mean, the potential is there for her to raise the bar even further. And Songbird, I mean, she's short enough, it has to be said, but she could be exceptional. The obvious danger is Rachel's Valentina, who herself is unbeaten, only had the couple of runs, perhaps significant that she's yet to race round two bends as well, so that can be a bit of a culture shock. She is a daughter of that multiple Grade 1 winner, Rachel Alexandra, so this horse is going to be well-backed, even purely on her pedigree. But as I said, the fact that she's racing around two bends for the first time is a concern, and especially when she's up against a filly of such exciting potential as Songbird. So I'm going to keep things simple here and go with Songbird.
Songbird to win the Juvenile Fillies then. Moving on to the 4:45 next, which is the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, a Grade 1 over 5.5 furlongs. The market headed by Undrafted, who's 2-1. Green Mask is 11-2 with Lady Shipman. Ready for Rye is 7-1. 10-1 for Bobby's Kitten. Pure Sensation 11s and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. Undrafted for Wesley Ward is a horse that we've seen over here at Royal Ascot, and pretty solid favourite by the looks of things for this, Alistair.
Yeah, Ward's got a really strong hand there. He's got the front two in the market. We all know about Wesley Ward, obviously, through his Royal Ascot heroics in recent seasons. And this chap is some trainer. I mean, if you look at his runners at the Breeders' Cup meeting in 2014, they finished second, first, third, and second. And they include Never, who really should have won the Turf Sprint. So you can understand why Coolmore have horses with this chap. He really does know what he's doing. And he's got the front two in the market. I think Undrafted is the one to be with. There are potential negatives with this horse. You know, it can't be denied. For a start, this race is over 5.5 furlongs this year. Last year it was over 6.5. And he got beat then. And I don't think for one minute that the drop in distance is going to be a help to this horse. And secondly, they could have done without the rain. He's definitely a better horse on fast ground. But we do have to also bear in mind that he was beaten only two lengths in a good-to-soft renewal of the July Cup. And believe me, that is a far stronger race than what Saturday's Turf Sprint is going to be. This is not a strong renewal at all. And I just feel that they go absolutely lightning fast in the Turf Sprints in America. And I just think this horse can outclass them. Yes, he wants an extra furlong, ideally, and yes, he wants faster ground. But there's no question at all that Undrafted is the best horse in the race, and I think he'll take a lot of beating. So I'll take him to beat Green Mask, who is a very handy second string. He was last seen finishing second to Soul Power over the Bear 5 at Maidan, so he's probably a quicker horse than Undrafted, but given how this race is going to pan out and over the extra furlong with them going over 5.5, I expect Undrafted to just be that bit stronger in the finish. And, you know, the fact that Green Mask hasn't been out since March isn't really a concern when he's trained by Wesley Ward, who was an absolute master at training one for the big day. And the third best would be Lady Shipman. But I think Undrafted is the best horse in the race, and his class can prevail in what is not, at the end of the day, the strongest of renewals.
Undrafted the selection then in the 4:45, the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. Moving on to the 5:25 next, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, a Grade 1 over 7 furlongs. The market headed by Lavadad, who's 9-2, 5-1 for Cavorting, Judy the Beauty 6-1, 15-2 for Stonetastic, Super Majesty is 9-1, 10s for Taris, and 12-1 are bigger prices for the others. I wouldn't know very much about this race, Alistair, I'll admit it. So help us out in the 5:25.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the best starting point, she's not going to be the tip, but Judy the Beauty has got a really good record in this race. She won it last year, was second 12 months earlier, and I expect her to run well again. She was third over in an adequate trip at this venue last time out, which was a nice stepping stone to the day that really matters. So she's second best, but the one I like is at 10-1. And that is Taris, who has got strong European connections, trained, of course, by Simon Callaghan, who used to be based in Newmarket, and is owned by the Coolmore team. So, you know, I think Taris has been trained specifically for this race. The fact that she's 10-1 is purely because she was turned over odds on last time out. But believe me, that is probably one of the most bizarre races you will ever see. In a small field, three of the four actually all took each other on at an absolutely suicidal early speed duel, and the winner merely just sat behind and picked up the pieces late on. Forget that run. It is completely irrelevant to her chance on Saturday. She's far better judged on an impressive win in a handicap at Del Mar in August, in which she won by 9 lengths, and even a defeat... A course and distance victory on a previous visit to Keeneland 12 months ago. She was incredibly impressive that day. She recorded 2 Bayer speed figures on those 2 occasions that definitely give her a fighting chance on Saturday. So she's purely overpriced because she was turned over last time out, but that is a completely irrelevant piece of form. So I think Taris at 10-1 is quite interesting. There's, as I said, it's a wide open renewal. I think you said they were betting 9-2 the field. And I think Taris could be quite interesting at 10-1 because, as I said, she's purely overpriced because of that, you know, that latest defeat, and you can literally put a line through that.
Nice. Potential bit of value there then in that race. The 6:10 is where we go next. The Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf for Grade 1 over a mile and 1.5 furlongs. Strong European challenge here. And Legatissimo heads it at 11-10. 13-2 for Miss France. Dasita is 12-1 with Secret Gesture. Stephanie's Kitten also 12s. 14s for Babuina and Queen's Jewel. Santiero Italia also 14-1. And 16s or bigger for the others. Is this a good chance for Europe here, Alistair?
Absolutely. I mean, this is... Europe don't have the... You'd think this would be a race they would dominate as a rule, because American middle distance fillies on turf are, you know, by all accounts, a fairly ordinary lot. It's never been a strength in American racing, and yet Europe has only won, what, 6 out of 16? You know, I think we should have won a lot more. I think we'll win this, absolutely. I've got no doubts whatsoever. This is definitely one of our banker races of the weekend. There's nothing not to like about Legatissimo, who is just the kind of filly you want for a race like this. You know, she's a 3-time Group 1 winner over the trip of a mile and a quarter. She's got the requisite speed to be, you know, a lot of these turf races in America essentially turn into the sprints up the straight. They go a slow pace, quicken up, and that's why French horses have got such a good record at the Breeders' Cup on turf, because they're accustomed to how these races are run. Legatissimo has the speed and has the stamina to be, you know, to be a perfectly feasible winner of this, but she's 11-10, and I think that is very short given the quality of opposition. I mean, you've got Miss France and Secret Gesture for a start, who both boast extremely strong form credentials. The one I really like here is Miss France. I think she is, if I was going to have a bet at the Breeders' Cup meeting, then this filly would be it. And, you know, I mean, because Legatissimo is taking so much out of the market, You know, I think 13-2 about this filly is a really good each way bet. Andre Farb, the filly's trainer, won this 14 years ago, of course, with Banks Hill. And this filly has not got a dissimilar profile in that Banks Hill was going beyond the mile for the first time on that occasion and duly found significant improvement to win. Now, his 1,000 guineas winner of 2014 has the same sort of potential. She has competed over a mile and a quarter, but that was last year in the French Oaks, and she was only beaten a couple of lengths despite enduring an absolute nightmare run, was barely able to stretch her legs up the straight. So that, you know, piece of form is fairly irrelevant here. So on another day, she could easily have won the French Oaks on that occasion. The one nagging doubt is that she's not been at her best so far this season, and in lesser company. She's twice been a beaten favourite, though last time out she was without question unsuited by having to make the running when just beaten by a very good horse called Impassable, who actually contests a mile on the same card and is a relative unknown quantity. Come Saturday night, we could say, and that was an absolutely wonderful effort by Miss France, given that she's not at her best when having to lead. I just feel that the step up in trip could trigger the necessary improvement on that form. She's related to four winners at a mile and a quarter and beyond. The Dam, Mr. Heaty, was a Group 1 winner at a mile, but did show high-class form over as far as a mile and a half. So I've got no doubt that Miss France is going to see out the trip, and if she does, you know, her proven ability at a mile is going to stand her in really good stead. And I think, you know, Miss France is an absolute cracking each-way alternative to Legatissimo. I mean, I mentioned Secret Gesture clearly has to enter the equation after finishing first past the post in the Beverly D at Arlington, was demoted back into third that day. Rather, unfortunately, they've booked a local jockey. But she's only got a strike rate of 4 from 15. Yes, she's a good filly, but I think at this standard, you do want a better strike rate than that, and I can just see her getting placed at best. So for me, it's Miss France to floor the worthy favourite, Legatissimo.
Miss France, and the selection for Alistair in what should be a good race for the European Raiders. Moving on to the Breeders' Cup Sprint next, a Grade 1 contest on the dirt. It's over 6 furlongs, and the market's headed by Private Zone, who's 11-4, 3-1 for Run Happy, Wild Dude is 8-1, 9-1 for Masochistic, Salutos Amigos is 12-1 with Stallwalking Dude, and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. This one, if in stark contrast to the last one, all about the American runners.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I mentioned Private Zone earlier. They were going to run that in the mile. They've decided to come back to 6 for the dirt, which is a bit of a surprise. I mean, this horse is very one-dimensional in that it has to lead, has to go from the front, and I've got no question he's a better horse at 7 furlongs when he's allowed to boss his field off less brutal fractions. What I think will happen here is a lot of early pace, and I just can't see them giving Private Zone any freedom, you know, towards the head of affairs. And I think this could be run to suit one of the closers, and the one I like is Run Happy, who is a progressive sprinter, peaking at the right time. He's only a three-year-old. Three-year-olds definitely hold their own in this race, and he registered a recent bare speed figure of 1.13 when defying a wide box and running away with a Grade 1 at King's Bishop at Saratoga. And then after that, he just had the perfect preparation in winning the Phoenix Stakes at this track pretty much as he liked. He does have a tendency to break slowly, this horse, but as I said, I'm not overly concerned by that because there is definitely going to be a contested pace up front, and I expect Run Happy to be doing his best work late. And if the leaders stop, which I expect them to do, you know, I fancy him to pick up the pieces and prevail.
Moving on to some of the real good stuff now. The 7:30 is the Breeders' Cup Mile. The market headed by Esoteric and Make Believe, Andre Farb's pair are 7-2 joint favourites. 11-2 for Time Test, Impassable is 6s, 10-1 for Tepin, and 12s or bigger for the others. Obviously quite a strong hand there for Andre Farb. I was interested to see your thoughts on, or to hear your thoughts on Time Test as well, because the ground probably could be a concern for him, and either way it's going to be a very strong European challenge.
Yeah, you'd be disappointed if we don't win this. To be honest with you, when I did this race at the start of the week, I actually tipped Time Test because I just think this is a really good horse waiting to explode, you know, on the big stage. but they must be ruining their luck, because the one thing this horse doesn't want is easy ground, and the sun could come out, but there's no way he's going to get his conditions. The ground was good at Newmarket last time, and they even said that was dead enough for him, which is a shame, because we haven't, the Brits haven't won their mile since 1994, and Barathea, which is mind-blowingly modest record considering the strength that we have in this division. But we haven't, and Time Test, I don't think, is going to stop the rot, because not only is the ground against him, he's also drawn in stall 12. As I said, conditions will dry out, but I don't think they're going to dry out quick enough to save Time Test, and I expect him to be placed at best, which is a shame. But, Roger Charlton thinks the world of this horse. He thinks he's going to scale greater heights than Al-Kazim, ultimately, and that could well be the case. But I think, it's going to be next year now, because he's got a lot to overcome on Saturday, and when the opposition is that good, he needs everything in his favour.
All right, so where do you go as a selection then?
Well, it's no coincidence that the French have won the mile on no less than 10 occasions. As we touched on earlier, they are accustomed to how these American races pan out on turf. Tactical speed is an essential attribute, as is the ability to quicken in the sprint finish. And I think André Farber's, the market would suggest, holds a really strong hand. And, I think make-believe is a bit of a good thing here. He absolutely oozed class in winning the Prix de la Forêt on Arc Day. Absolutely ran away with that race over 7 furlongs on his first start since June. They reckoned he might have needed it on that occasion. So he broke the track record. He beat, he made a really high-class horse in Lamarto look pretty ordinary. And in, lowering the course record over 7 furlongs on Arc Day, when he was perhaps in need of the run, was an absolute Herculean performance, and I think he's very much the one to be with. The stable has a very good second string, or you could argue, in some cases they think it's the first string, in Ezra Tariq. Developed into a really likeable mare, this horse, and clearly has strong form credentials, given that she was not beaten all that far by, Solo and Muhara earlier in the season. She then registered a Group 1 double at a mile in the Jacques Le Mawar and the Sun Chariot Stakes. I just think if you look at this horse's overall profile, the Group 1 victories that she has secured, there's not quite been a genuine top-notcher in there. And I think in make-believe, there could be a real, really good miler that she has to beat. And if you look at her overall profile, I think she's vulnerable to a horse of that ability. So I think make-believe is the one to beat. I think Ezra Tariq will be the danger with the ground going against Time Test. And also, the other horse you've got to stand make a case for is last year's winner, Cara Conti, a Group 1 winner, on 3 occasions, was really impressive in this race 12 months ago, but the ground was very quick that day, and that is the key to this horse. Well beaten on soft ground in just 2 runs back home in France this season. This has clearly been the plan, but unfortunately for him, the ground is not going to be sufficiently quick for him to show his best form. And the other one to mention, a fellow French horse, and that would be Impassable, who we mentioned earlier, does lack experience at the highest level, which is a negative from a trends perspective. But she just could be, if there's going to be a shock, then Impassable could be the one to provide it. But for me, I won't be looking beyond make-believe.
Make-believe, the selection in the Breeders' Cup Mile then, for Alistair. Moving on to the 8-10 next, which is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, a grade one on the dirt over a mile, and plenty of in-form runners here. Greenpoint Crusader heads the market at 4-1, 92 for Brody's Cause and Nyquist. Exaggerator is 8-1, Swipe 11s, 12s for Cocked and Loaded, and 14-1 are bigger prices for the others. Who would you recommend in there?
Brody's Course for me has come a long way in a short space of time. This horse was only 8th on debut. I think you'd have got massive odds about him being a Breeders' Cup winner after that. But he was mightily impressive last time out in the Grade 1 Futurity over the course and distance. That was, 4 weeks ago. He beat a couple of horses that will be reopposing on Saturday in Exaggerator and Rated R Superior. Brody's Course was well held up off the pace. But if you look at the VT, this horse was incredibly impressive. The way he made up the ground up the home straight, he found a sustained burst that swept him past Exaggerator late on. And the second horse is a really solid yardstick who had more experience on the day. Was bidding for a third successive victory, so there's nothing to knock about that form. Brodie scores only one by a length, but that margin was increasing by the line at a, you know, a rapid rate. And given that this race is likely to pan out in a similar fashion, I think Brodie scores will be the one to beat.
Brodie scores the one to beat in that one. Then moving on to the penultimate race of the evening, it's a pretty big one to look forward to as well. The Breeders' Cup Turf, it's at 8.50 UK time, it's over a mile and a half, and the market headed by Golden Horn, who's 4-9, 72 for Found. The Pizza Man is 12-1, 16s for Big Blue Kitten, Slumber 25s with Twilight Eclipse, and 33-1 on bigger prices for the others. All the interest over here, I imagine, will be surrounding Golden Horn Swan Song. Will it be a winning one, Alistair?
Let's hope so. I think he's short enough, I do, because the ground isn't a massive concern. I mean, I think, you know, unless it's genuinely soft on the day, and by all accounts, they don't expect it to be. They expect it to be on the easy side of good with a couple of dry days forecast. I think he'll get away with the ground. The concern, obviously, is that no ARC winner has ever won at the Breeders' Cup meeting. And some have tried, you know. Dylan Thomas was the last to attempt the feat. He came up a long way short in 2007, and he was short enough at 6-5. Sarkey would have come closest, I guess, when he only lost out by a whisker, didn't he, in that memorable renewal of the Classic. But of the five ARC winners to have run in the turf, only Trampolino was able to make the frame. And, of course, Dancing Brave was the highest profile failure. So the stats don't bode great, it must be said, for Golden Horn, but you know, the way this horse has held his form throughout the season, he's got a wonderful constitution, and you know, John Gosden is just an absolute master. I think if he get any sort of signs at home that this horse wasn't capable of producing his best, then I think they'd have drew stumps. So and the ARC, as a rule, is a good guide to this race, to the Breeders' Cup as a whole. I mean, seven of our 13 turf winners in the last 19 years actually ran in the ARC. The winner hasn't got the best of records, but as a race, you know, the ARC has been significant down the years. And if Golden Horn can hold his form one more time, then he's going to win, because the Americans have not got the talent to beat him. And the only horse I can see giving him a race, and she is a danger, it has to be said, is Found, who, you know, on the Leopardstown clash, you know, she was only a length behind Golden Horn. Admittedly, he was erratic that day in the finish and probably won with a little more in hand, but Found didn't get the best of breaks herself, and this filly deserves a break. And the other thing to bear in mind is that Aidan O'Brien has got a really good record in this race with three-year-olds. He's only won three from the classic generation. Two have won, and the other one was beaten only a neck. So that is a big pointer to Found's claims on Saturday evening. As I said, she got to within a length of an erratic Golden Horn at Leopardstown, and on that form, she's fully entitled to give him a race. Things have not gone her way at all since. Obviously, in the ARC, she was down the field, but got no luck in running at all. And on another day, she could have easily have won the Champion Stakes at Ascot. Was last turning in, and found trouble up the straight on a couple of occasions, finished well. On another day, I think she'd have won that race. So she won't mind the ground, whatever it is, whether it's good or soft. And even though Golden Horn is the most likely winner, I think if I was going to have a bet in this race, I'd be backing Found each way, if I can't see how she's going to be out of the places. So Golden Horn is the most likely winner, and I really hope that he can sign off in style. But I do think Found each way is a rock-solid alternative.
Yeah, I was speaking to the William Hill traders yesterday as well, and they were saying there were obviously quite a lot of interest in Golden Horn. He was a popular favourite, but all of the each-way bets seem to be on Found, so a lot of people think the same way. Yeah.
I just think she can be out of the frame. I mean, the only one negative is that obviously it's very late in the season, and she has had two very quick runs, in the ARC, Anna Asker, and now the Breeders' Cup. But she hasn't had hard races. I mean, she travelled well, and she only You know, the Ox, she had no run at all. Vitsy would have taken very little out of her. And at Ascot, you know, she travelled supremely well for much of it, just quickened up the last couple of furlongs. So I don't think she, you know, she wasn't running through her eyeballs, if you like. So hopefully she'll hold her form. And if she does, then she's a big threat.
And on to the big finale next, and the 9:35 at Keeneland is the Breeders' Cup Classic, a grade one over a mile and a quarter. The market headed by Triple Crown winner American Pharaoh, who's 11-8, 4-1 for Beholder. Honor Code is 8-1 with Tonalist, 9-1 for Keen Ice. Frosted 12s and 14s for Glen Eagles. Smooth Roller another at 14s and 66-1 or bigger prices for the other two. We'll start with American Pharaoh, Alistair. Obviously, first horse to win the Triple Crown in a very long time. The Travers Stakes, though, they call Saratoga the graveyard of champions, and that proved to be the case for American Pharaoh. So does he bounce back here?
Well, it's going to it's a big ask, isn't it? I mean, Bob Baffert hinted at retirement in the aftermath of that defeat, and some training feat, you know, should he get his stable star back to the absolute peak of his powers, not only on the back of that shock defeat, but also on the back of what has been a really, really arduous campaign. I mean, it's asking a hell of a lot of this horse, but he could be good enough. I mean, he's the first ever Triple Crown winner to grace the Breeders' Cup. You know, his presence does add a huge amount to what is without question the highlight of the meeting. I mean, he was, they sort of, you know, Saratoga, as you said, it did live up to its billing as the graveyard of champions. I mean, he was the latest high-profile victim to fall prey there when beaten by the 12-1 chance Keen Ice. They were out to get him in that race. I mean, Frosted eyeballed him from a long, long way out. The one I'm going to put forward here is Frosted, who's 12-1, and he's purely a, you know, a value angle, I believe, at those sort of odds, because yes, he's relying on American Pharaoh being off his game. He's finished behind the Mighty Horse three times already, but they both went very hard in the Travers, and yet Frosted was only beaten two lengths. You know, he had every right to fall through the back of the telly, and he didn't. He was only a couple of lengths behind American Pharaoh, and those are not normally his tactics. It was surprising to see them ride him so positively. You know, as a rule, he's held up. American Pharaoh is fairly one-dimensional, and in that he has to be up there or thereabouts. And I don't believe for one minute that the only way they can get American Pharaoh beat is, well, two ways: A, that he's not the horse he was, or B, that they keep him honest up front. And I can't believe they're going to let him have his own way, because if they do, then the chances are this race is as good as over. The one I think most likely to be the spoiler is a horse called Smooth Roller, who would be roughly the outsider of the field. I mean, he's no slouch. I mean, he didn't win the best Awesome Again Stakes last time out, but that is traditionally a strong race. So he's got the ability, and again, he's a front runner, he's got the ability to make things difficult for the likely favourite, American Pharaoh. And if they do, and Frosted is ridden more patiently, which is usually the case, then given he was only beaten a couple of lengths in the Travers, I think Frosted is still possibly improving. And, you know, I'm taking a guess, basically, how this race is going to unfold. And if it unfolds as I expect it to, then I think Frosted is overpriced at 12-1. So he is going to be the call. Keen Ice can't be ruled out, but at the end of the day, he was a lucky winner of the Travers. I mean, American Pharaoh and Frosted basically softened one another up and exposed themselves to, you know, to Keen Ice's strong finish. I doubt that will happen again, so I can't see Keen Ice beating either American Pharaoh or Frosted, in truth. And I just think Frosted at 12-1 is a really interesting each-way alternative to American Pharaoh. You know, a large part of me and a large part of everyone else will hope that American Pharaoh can sign off, you know, in the manner he deserves to, but you've got to, you know, your head has to rule your heart when it comes to betting, and I think Frosted is the call at 12-1.
All right.
I suppose we have to touch on Glen Eagles.
You've read my mind. I was going to say we probably should mention Glen Eagles. Where do you see him fitting into this?
I expect him to be finishing nowhere. You know, I don't know, I just can't see it. I mean, it's a new experience, it's a new trip. Whichever way you look at it at Ascot, the ground wasn't that bad at Ascot, and he just looked very flat. I mean, you know, they came out afterwards and said he needed the run, and it was a prep race for the Breeders' Cup. Okay, but it would be I'd probably be Aidan O'Brien's finest ever hour, and that is saying something, should this horse win the Breeders' Cup Classic on his first time on the surface, on only his second run since June, on the back of a defeat. Everything is against him. You know, he could have done without the rain. For me, he's the first to cross off the list. I hope I'm proved wrong, because I think it adds considerable interest to the race. You know, and Aidan O'Brien and the Coolmore gang are clearly determined to win this race. But I just think Glen Eagles, they're asking too much of him. Not for me.
It'd be interesting to understand Aidan O'Brien's thought process here, because they could quite feasibly have gone for the mile and he would have had a fantastic chance. And they've decided to run him on this surface for the first time over a trip that is not his ideal trip, we don't think. And it's interesting, isn't it? Why has he gone this route?
I think they've got this obsession, haven't they, with the classic, you know, the stable as a whole. And maybe from a breeding perspective, if he runs a creditable race, then that will enhance his breeding reputation no end, I guess. Whereas if he runs in the turf and got beat on, not the turf, on turf in the mile, and finishes fifth or sixth, and it's a bit like Camelot, who got beat in the St. Ledger, and then they went to the well again in the Ledger, in the Ark, and got beat again. And you look now back at Camelot and you think, oh yeah, he was a good horse, but he nothing out of the ordinary. And I think Glen Eagles would fall into that category, despite all his early season brilliance, to get beat at Ascot and then in a mile, you think, his reputation would be tarnished. So I guess they are looking upon the classic as a win-win scenario. You know, nobody expects him to win, because they'll just blame it on the surface or the trip. But if he runs well, then there's quite a lot of upside, I suppose.
Yeah,
that'd be possibly the way they're thinking.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, but all in all, Frosted for you.
Yeah, he's a risky one. As I said, he's finished behind American Pharoah on three occasions, but I just thought that run in the Travers was, given how they ran him, to be only beaten two lengths by the mighty American Pharoah was a darn good effort. And I can just see, provided they revert back to more patient tactics, which, you know, they have to if they're going to have any hope of winning, then I just think at 12-1 he could be a surprise package.
Okay. What will be your best bet for the Saturday of the Breeders' Cup, then?
My best bet for the Saturday will be Miss France in the filly mare turf. I think Legatissimo is a respected favourite and a deserved favourite, but 11-10 is too short a price when you weigh up the quality of opposition. And Miss France is a real top-notch miler. Yes, has been slightly below her best so far this year, but comes to America on the back of a light campaign. He's trained by an absolute master target trainer in Andre Favre. I've got no doubt that this has been a bit of probably the plan he's had in mind all year. I expect her to improve for the step up in trip. I think there's a lot of upside, and I'd be amazed if she's out the frame. So, it's 6-1. Miss French is the bet of the meeting.
Very good. Nice one. Thank you very much, Alistair. It's been a pleasure. Good luck and enjoy the Breeders' Cup this weekend.
And yourself. Thank you, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.